the ocean. A pastime for some, an adventure for others, this great expanse holds more secrets than the furthest reaches of outer space. With 95% of it unexplored, one might wonder what the ocean is hiding, or how, when lost in its darkness, one could ever hope to escape. Come on in. The water's fine.
Lost in a billion tears. The endless blue light stretched in front of Curtis, swimming just before his eyes as he swam within its lukewarm embrace. His breathing echoed in his ears, bringing a sensation of calm throughout his entire being. His wetsuit limited his mobility, but the lowered gravity gave him more freedom than any clothing ever could. In the nearby ether swam his father, a silhouette in the infinite calm. Curtis's waterproof watch told him that they'd submerged 10 minutes ago, but the surface was almost completely lost from him. The dive was supposed to be short, so his air supply wouldn't last more than an hour. They reached the sand-covered ocean floor, raising silt like a cloud of dust and impeding the progress of a wayward crab. Curtis's fingers brushed along the jagged earth, losing warmth as they were slowly pulled towards a great, dark chasm. His eyes widened behind his plastic lens as they beheld the awe-inspiring abyss. His father peeked beyond the chasm too, and turned to Curtis, offering a thumbs up. Curtis signaled back. Today was his 10th birthday, and this crushing expanse of melancholy beauty was his present. Excitement overwhelmed him. He wanted to see more. He needed to see more. Ignoring the sound advice that his father had given him just minutes before, he leaned over the side and began swimming straight down. The brilliant colors of the sea faded away as powerful walls of the canyon quickly extinguished the sunlight. In the corner of his eye, he saw his father frantically scramble after him, trying to stop him, trying to rob him of the full extent of his gift. The invisible pressure of the water began to take its toll, and Curtis gritted his teeth to force the pain of the crushing headache away. The temperature decreased as steadily as the darkness increased, chilling him to the bone. Something suddenly moved behind the remaining light and himself, but before he could see it, his skull was struck from behind, and the world faded to black. Curtis awoke with the dull memory of the previous pain pulsing in his temple, and he grabbed his head with both hands. The ground upon which he was perched shifted beneath him, and he instinctively reached out, feeling out and taking hold of a nearby rock. He tried to open his eyes, but the skin of his eyelids seemed to stick to his face. It took all of his strength to separate them. A horrible, burning sensation attacked his face like 1,000 hornets from hell, and the force of his scream urged air bubbles to surface around his mouthpiece. When the invisible force, likely a large fish, had struck him, he must have careened down the empty abyss unabated before the overhanging ledge halted his descent. His face apparently slammed into the rock, shattering his goggles and cutting either one or both of his eyes. The wound didn't feel severe, but it left him blind, surrounded by freezing darkness. Curtis groped the ledge, his fingers tracing the outline of the rock, and sat up. A distant beep from his diver's watch warned him that his oxygen would expire in less than 10 minutes. The otherwise silence triggered a new worry. Where's Dad? Panicking, he shot in the direction which his internal compass indicated as up. His face slammed into the side of the underwater cliff for the second time, this time knocking his mouthpiece askew. He tasted seawater and blood, gagged, and quickly forced the bubbling tube back into his mouth. The horrible taste of salt and copper remained. However, as he blindly felt his way up the steep, rocky surface, fear gripped him like a vice, and he disassociated from it, trying to think of a better place. Instead, simpler unpleasantries came to mind. Skinned knees, dropped ice cream cones, released balloons, and, after every one, the tears. Yes, the ocean tasted like tears after all. What were tears but salt and water? In fact, the ocean was just that. A billion small tears combining to form one massive force. The tremendous silence that came with the ocean matched the tremendous sadness that came with the tears. Both gave the frightening sensation of total isolation. And here Curtis was, lost in a billion tears, trying to find a breath of fresh air that could take him away from this quiet, somber world. The pressure around his head, in his head, slowly relieved itself, and Curtis moved faster, more exuberantly. His hands filled up the wall, like lion's paws patting across their den. Pat, 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 pat. Then, they had nothing to grasp, and he tumbled back onto the ocean floor. Still, no sign of his father. No one came to grab him, to save him, to take him away from his lukewarm hell. So, he persisted. Unfortunately, the difficult part was now at hand. His father had warned him that if he rose to the surface too quickly, he'd contract the bends, which he understood to be a decompression sickness far worse than death by drowning. So, he was forced to take his valuable time as his life expectancy impatiently ticked away. And tick away they did, disappearing like frightened fish into the seaweed. Where was the end? He'd been swimming for much longer than he should have, but the only thing that surfaced was the unspoken fear. What if he was swimming sideways instead of up? Curtis now had two choices. Keep swimming and hope that he's going the right way, or alter his course and pray that he hadn't sealed his fate. He chose to keep swimming. His watch to beep again. He was under the minute mark now, his time reduced to a handful of heartbeats. He sped up, foolishly wishing to take a long, painful death instead of the short, immediate one which threatened him now. His breathing increased, and he tried to slow it down, reminding himself that he needed to conserve the oxygen. It was too late, however. His next inhalation was stale, and he knew that his time had run out. Curtis sucked on the tube as a last-ditch attempt to breathe and pulled the mouthpiece away from his face. The silent tears rushed past his cheeks, as if God himself was crying for the fate which he was soon to share with so many others. His lungs ached for oxygen, his muscles ached from fatigue, and his heart ached with despair. He was convinced that he'd never see his father again, or anyone else, for that matter. Then, his head broke the ocean's surface. He gasped, loudly, simultaneously coughing and sucking up the warm, wet air. The wind had picked up since he'd submerged, and he struggled to keep his body afloat amongst the crushing waves. Grinning wildly, he reached up and cleared the salt water from his eyes. Curtis now realized but it was only his left eye that had been cut, so he kept it closed, using his right one to view his surroundings. The boat, however, was gone. Curtis's grin fell. He must have been swimming at an angle the entire time. He had no way of knowing how far he was from the anchored vessel. The crew would never hear his shouts from such a distance, especially over the active wind. Something moved in the water ahead of him. He caught a glimpse of the gray, and his heart sank as he realized what had struck him and what likely had become of his father. A large fin emerged from the water less than 10 feet away, followed by 5 more, as if magnetized to the blood leaking from Curtis's mouth and left eye. The wet coating caused the fins to shine like razor blades, cutting his spirit as effectively as real blades cut his body. All 6 fins formed a circle around him and spun slowly, menacingly. He felt as if he were in a blender, surrounded by those huge, sharp blades. As they moved closer, threatening to dice him to pieces, fear slowly unraveled his sanity, and he gave the sea a few tears of his own.